again, everybody. Say a beautiful day that the Lord has made. You're listening to the Power Hour. I'm Alex Newman. I'm guest hosting for Daniel Brigman. So glad that you are joining us or staying with us from the last hour. Man, we had a lot to talk about. We didn't even get to a fraction of it. But in this hour, we've got a very special guest with us. That is Christian Gomez. He is a friend of mine. He is also a research project manager for the John Birch Society. He's been working in research there for many years. And when I get to go up to Wisconsin, I get to hang out with him. And he's also a contributor to the New American Magazine, probably the finest magazine on planet Earth. If you're not a subscriber yet, you should go over to thenewamerican.com and sign up for our free daily headlines and also sign up to get the magazine delivered twice a month to your door. Christian, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Alex. I'm glad to be on with you today.
Excellent. Very good. Christian, everybody's talking about the election and the Supreme Court and, of course, the Hunter Biden stuff. You know, it just came out now. We just got smoking gun evidence that Hunter Biden, we got an audio tape of Hunter Biden admitting that he was in a business relationship with the spy chief for the mass murdering dictatorship in communist China. Does this surprise you?
Not at all. I mean, if you look at the history of the Democratic Party for the last several decades, we've seen the Democrats in bed with the Soviet Union, with the communists, always trying to undermine any sort of conservative opposition to international Marxism.
Yeah, and so how much progress have the communists made, especially the communist Chinese? I've got a Newsweek article here, and I'm amazed that Newsweek has actually started publishing legitimate news now. What they've got here, exclusive, 600 U.S. groups linked to Chinese Communist Party influence effort with ambition beyond election. We know Trevor Loudon. I know you just sent out an email yesterday with Trevor Loudon's new video where he was talking about the direct links between the Communist Party of China and some of the subversive groups operating in the United States. How significantly has Communist China penetrated the U.S. political system, our economic system? Is it really a national security risk, or is this just all paranoia from anti-communist lunatics?
It's an absolute national security threat. It's been building up for decades. From the simple made-in-China products, which is slowly and gradually put our dependence totally on communist China for manufacturing, not just of plastic, cheap goods and toys, but almost all major household appliances, even equipment used for the military, microchips and so forth that are used in computer systems. And, of course, we have these Confucius Institutes and the colleges. We have penetration of communist China in almost all levels of industry, even the movie industry with Chinese companies, state-run money, of course, funding Paramount Pictures and a lot of the major film industries that are bankrolled by China. So you're never going to find an anti-communist, a true anti-Chinese communist film being produced these days. We saw that with the Red Dawn remake that was going to be communist China as the villain invading the U.S. and said it was made to North Korea in post-production, shows you the influence of China in the movie industry. So this is happening in all gamuts of our society, in almost every area you can find some form of Chinese communist activity, whether it's street activists or politicians that take money from China, like Hunter Biden, being connected with his father, Joe Biden.
Yeah, you know, this thing with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, it's just, you know, it for me, it's not shocking, but I think for your average American who still hasn't realized it from the fake media, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, that must be Russian disinformation, as Sleepy Joe put it. But, you know, Christian, you're an expert in communism and kind of the Soviet Union and all that. What's the deal? Should Americans be concerned about the threat of communism? We were told that the Soviet Union collapsed and, hey, the Chi-Coms aren't even really communist anymore. You know, there's nothing to worry about. It's just conservatives hyperventilating about nothing. Should we really be concerned about this? And what do you think we ought to do as a nation, if we should be concerned about it, to try to deal with this threat, and not just on the military level, but on the economic front and on the political front and all the rest of it?
Well, the greatest strategic victory of the communists was to make us think that communism was no longer a threat. Because by thinking it's no longer a threat, well, the Berlin Wall's come down, Germany's been reunified, the communist Chinese dictator of the 80s, claiming to be enacting capitalist reforms, and the American people just buying into this lie that communism is dead. Now we're no longer fighting it. Of course, since the 1970s, the liberal Democrats destroyed the House and Senate subcommittees on internal security, so our government is no longer investigating communist espionage and subversion in the United States. So right now what we are seeing is a culmination of decades of communist penetration, especially since the so-called end of the Cold War, where they have made so many gains by leaps and bounds, and the American people being unaware of it. Now we find our place where Khrushchev said that your children will wake up or your grandchildren will wake up and they will see that we have communism already. And that's what we're seeing today. I mean, just seeing how close Bernie Sanders was to capturing the nomination, but it didn't matter ultimately because look at Joe Biden's platform, his agenda. It's got the Green New Deal from AOC on their own website. Kamala Harris's record is not one of a moderate, centrist, conservative Democrat. She herself is a radical Marxist. So, you know, right now we are seeing the hijack of the Democratic Party in full play, and there's many Republicans even who are guilty of having closely worked with communist China, whether you look at the National Governors Association or various Republican governors that look to communist China for investments in their state. So Americans need to be keenly aware of this penetration and subversion because it is the biggest foreign threat to the United States is communist China.
And what do we do about it, Christian? I mean, what do we do? I agree with you 100%. It's a huge threat. It's an existential threat. You've got Chinese generals who've threatened to nuke hundreds of American cities if we dare to help Taiwan out when the Chi-Coms try to invade. We've got them actively working to subvert our political system. We've got them, you know, getting all kinds of blackmail material on people like Hunter Biden. What do we do about this? What is the best way forward to proceed as a society? I mean, what should the federal government do? Is the FBI doing a good job of counterintelligence and reining in this stuff? Are they doing any job? I mean, you'd think Bill Barr was asleep at the wheel on everything, but what should we be doing? What are we doing, and what can we do different?
Well, unfortunately, when you go back to the history of the CIA, when it was still the OSS during World War II in the 1940s, there was a lot of communist penetration even within the CIA early on in its history. And today, you know, we would call that the deep state. We've seen, you've written extensively about that, Alex, where our national security apparatus, the FBI and CIA, are essentially, helping to establish a new world order, which would, of course, you know, include communist China, the so-called former communist, nations like Russia, being integrated with the United States. And so that is already coming to be coming to happen, and our FBI and CIA are not agencies that are going to save us from this. But as to what the American people could do, well, we should be contacting our members of Congress and asking them to reconstitute the House Committee on Un-American Activities to investigate communist subversion and penetration, to reestablish the Senate Subcommittee on Internal Security, to reestablish the Attorney General's list of subversive organizations. These are tools that we used to have at the federal level that we no longer have to research and to counteract this penetration. And also, we have to stop being afraid of calling a communist a communist. You seldom see the word communist used, even on conservative media like Fox News. You rarely hear them talk about communism or communist. Sometimes they might say Marxist because it's a little more acceptable to say that term. But if you say communist, people laugh or scoff at you. I mean, Kamala Harris was recently asked about socialism, and she just sort of just laughed it off. We need to not be afraid to call a duck in this case. Call communists for what they are, and refer to China as communist China. This notion that it's a people's republic, it's not a republic of the people. It's a mass-murdering communist dictatorship where the Communist Party controls the government, controls the military, and all aspects of society. So we need to not be afraid of of calling things what they are. Because when we do buy into that fear, we're buying into the communist dialectic of Lenin speak, of letting the other side, the left as a whole, control the dialogue and control the vocabulary. And that's how the left has made major gains, by using slogans and changing definitions of phrases and words. But we need to hold true to what is true, that communism is a mass-murdering ideology bent on world domination, and that China, for all of its aesthetic changes on the outside of the last 30 years or so since the 1980s, has not drifted away from its ultimate goal, which is Marxism-Leninism. You have the dictator Xi Jinping. He writes all these books in Mandarin about Marxism-Leninism and gives speeches about how China is Marxist-Leninist, how they're going to capture Taiwan, in the coming years. So, I mean, look what they've done in Hong Kong. Don't tell me that this is a free market, reformed capitalist nation now with a socialism that just has some minor Chinese characteristics. It is still a totalitarian regime, and we need to acknowledge it as such and support the creation, reinstitution of those committees I mentioned in Congress.
Amen, amen. I couldn't agree with you more, Christian. And I think the brainwashing of our youth is so serious too. We've got I mentioned earlier in the program before we brought you on, the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation put out a poll last year, and they said 70% of millennials. I think you're a millennial as well, Christian. And I know it's terribly embarrassing for the both of us.
Unfortunately,
I know. Right? But 70% of our generation now thinks socialism is fun and happy. And I tell, hey, go to Miami and you'll meet some Cubans. They'll tell you, they'll disabuse you of those notions. And if that doesn't work, I'll get you a one-way ticket to Venezuela. Come back and tell us how it went. Incredibly serious, incredibly serious. They're brainwashing our kids. They're breaking down our institutions. The Chi-Coms are an absolute threat. And I think really the New World Order crowd, the one worlders, the globalists, the deep staters, I think they see communist China as kind of a model for their global technocracy. And folks, if you're just joining us, this is the Power Hour. I'm Alex Newman. I'm guest hosting for my friend Daniel Brigman. And we have with us my friend Christian Gomez, who is the research project manager at the John Birch Society. He's also a contributor to the New American Magazine. He got his degree from the John Whitehead School of International Relations and Diplomacy at Seton Hall University. This is a man who knows a lot about what's going on. Christian, tell us a little bit about the John Birch Society. Actually, John Birch, for those who don't know, was murdered by Chinese communists. He was, after World War II, he was actually a missionary. He was a missionary trying to take the gospel to the people of China. He loved the people of China so much that he went over there and tried to bring these people to Christ, try to bring the light of the gospel to them. Duty called. World War II broke out. He spoke Chinese. He had vast networks. He was very familiar with the lay of the land. They recruited him into military intelligence. And then shortly after the war was over, with help from our State Department and the fake media in the United States, the Council on Foreign Relations crowd, the communists were in the process of taking over China, and then they murdered Captain John Birch. And then along came Robert Welch, a genius if there ever was one. I mean, this guy was homeschooled, and he literally was in university at age 12. Okay, true story. If you know any 12-year-olds now, try to picture that, right? Okay, especially if they came out of a government school. And Robert Welch, you know, one of his early books, even before he created the John Birch Society, was Again May God Forgive Us, about how the globalist deep staters in the United States deliberately aided Chairman Mao in the takeover of China. But for people who aren't familiar with the John Birch Society, Christian, and I serve as a consultant to the John Birch Society, and again, I'm a senior editor at the New American Magazine, tell us a little bit about the Society. What is the Society? What is its role in the freedom fight? What has been its position on communism and communist China? Of course, the chairman of the John Birch Society, Congressman Larry McDonald, was murdered by the Soviet Union. They shot down his airplane back before I was born in 1983. But give us an overview. We've got about 5 minutes before the break, Christian. Tell us, what is the John Birch Society, and what is the John Birch Society doing about communist China and other issues?
Absolutely. Well, the John Birch Society is an education action organization. It is named after the missionary John Birch that you mentioned. It was founded by Robert Welch in 1958 in Indianapolis. And the John Birch Society, the headquarters are in Appleton, Wisconsin, but we have chapters in, all across the country. We have coordinators that cover various states. And there's a lot of activities that the John Birch Society does. We're involved in getting out of the United Nations. We have a long-standing campaign to get us out of the UN, because ultimately that's where all this one-world government integration and globalism is headed, to a one-world government under the UN or some successor to the UN. So we need to get out of the UN. The John Birch Society forms the members of the John Birch Society are involved in creating support your local police committees to not only support the local police, but to keep them independent from the federal government, because we oppose the creation of a national police force, which is how most police forces are run in countries around the world. They're not really local police departments and local sheriffs, but you see these national police forces in most countries around the world, even in so-called free countries of the world, like Chile, where you have a Carabineros, the national police force there. But nevertheless, so the John Birch Society has been involved in various action projects to oppose globalism, to oppose communism. We were founded as an anti-communist organization, and we still oppose communism. The John Birch Society right now, in terms of communist China, wants to bring back the manufacturing of our medicines and vitamins away from communist China back to the United States. We have action alerts that people can go on jbs.org, find that alert, and send a pre-written, editable message to their member of Congress requesting that we stop this free trade with communist China and bring back the key manufacturing of especially medicine and vitamins back to the United States, because so much of that, most of it, is made in communist China and for national security concerns. Of course, we don't want all of our medicines coming from one country, especially one that has a terrible record when it comes to food safety and health standards internally, in a country that's goal is to take down our country and our population. So we shouldn't continue using medicines that are produced in China. So, the John Birch Society is extremely active across the country, and I would invite everyone to check us out at jbs.org, consider membership, contact a coordinator in your state, and see how you can get active and involved. Members of the society, they get a monthly bulletin that informs them about what is going on, what the members should be focusing on. They also get a subscription to the New American Magazine that you and I both contribute to and write, and you're the senior editor as well of that, Alex. So people can get that magazine, and it is a premier conservative educational magazine out there. There's nothing like it out there. It's very informative. We don't publish stuff unless we can back it up with the evidence, as you know, Alex. And so I invite people to check out the John Birch Society. We're not a relic of the 60s. We are growing. We are active. And only through membership in the John Birch Society can we truly change our country and take it back to those godly principles of limited government, because there's a lot of conservative activism out there, but the other side is always using organization, and the only way to defeat the collectivist organization on the left is for conservatives to organize, and that's where conservatives have fallen short in the past for decades. We like to be our little individualists and focus on our one little issue, but ultimately with the threat that we face is a major collectivist threat. That's what communism and fascism and all these isms are. These godless isms are all collectivism. And the John Birch Society is organized specifically to counteract the emergence and penetration of those collectivist ideologies in our country.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for that explanation, Christian. People who want to learn more can go to jbs.org. I actually joined the society when I was in college, and I had come across a video that they produced about the UN peace troops actions in Katanga, which was a province of the Congo that declared independence. They didn't want to be ruled by the Soviet Union's mass murdering puppet dictator. And so under the leadership of a wonderful African leader, Moise Tshombe, they said, no, actually, we're going to do our own thing over here. Thank you. We're going to have free markets. We're going to have private property rights. We're going to welcome individual liberty. And of course, the UN sent their peace troops in to murder, slaughter, butcher, bomb hospitals, rape women, bayonet children, etc. And I was so horrified by that. At the end, I said, hey, this was produced by the John Birch Society. Call this number and we'll send you more information. So they did. And I was like, hey, that sounds like a good idea. And I joined right away. Great organization. We're going to be coming up on a break here in just a moment. But when we get to the other side of the break, we're going to ask Christian about these so-called free trade deals. Unfortunately, the globalists have even made some progress during the Trump administration. I think not nearly as much as they would have liked, but Christian is one of the leading experts on this subject. In fact, I rely on his research when I'm working on these issues. It is spot on. He actually goes through the texts of these agreements and pulls out the important information that's not being covered, or should I say that's being covered up by the fake media. So you'll want to stay tuned for that, folks. Again, I'm Alex Newman. You are listening to The Power Hour. I'm filling in for my friend Dan Brigman. We've got another segment to go, another less than half an hour. I hope you'll stay with us. We have got just so much to talk about. When we pick back up on the other side, we'll be talking about the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, which is, of course, the USMCA for short. We'll be talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the effort to build a North American Union. We'll be talking about the globalist who spearheaded all of this, Council on Foreign Relations One Worlder Robert Lighthizer, who unfortunately was the U.S. Trade Representative responsible for this abomination. And boy, have we got a lot to cram in that last segment, folks, but you'll want to stay tuned. One of the main strategies of the globalists for eroding our sovereignty, in fact, in their magazine back in 1974 in Foreign Affairs, they said that we can't use the old fashioned full frontal assault on sovereignty. The way we're going to build a world order is by eroding sovereignty piece by piece. So when we get back from the break, Christian is going to be breaking all that down for us. He's going to tell us what's going on with the USMCA, how that moves us closer and closer toward this monstrosity called a North American Union. Folks, you will want to stay tuned. They've got their European Union. They've got their African Union. They've got the Putin, of course, is building his Union of Eurasian States, or the Eurasian Union. The Latin American communists are building the Union of South American States. And guys, there's just so much to talk about. We won't have time to cram it all in, but stay tuned. We will be back from the break very soon.
On to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption, utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil, so they'd receive with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
All righty, everybody. We are back. Thank you for staying with us. If you're just tuning in, I'm Alex Newman. I'm filling in for my friend Daniel Brigman. You're listening to The Power Hour. And with us today, we have Christian Gomez, who's a friend of mine. He is the research project manager at the John Birch Society and is a contributor to the New American Magazine, where I serve as senior editor. He is just so knowledgeable in so many areas, including the so-called free trade schemes, and that's what we'll be talking about in just a couple minutes here, and also the communist threat. He really is up to speed on what the communists are doing inside the United States and outside the United States, has a very keen understanding, so we appreciate the opportunity to have him with us. Now, before we went to break, we talked a little bit about the John Birch Society, and you know, a lot of people today don't even know about the John Birch Society. Back in the 60s, they had this vitriolic campaign, smear campaign against the Birch Society. It got launched in a Communist Party publication. We have the documents showing that the communists in Moscow issued an order to communists all over the world to go after anti-communist organizations. And the John Birch Society was at the forefront of their efforts. And it's for good reason. They recognized that this organization had the potential to throw a real monkey wrench into their operation. So they used incredible smears. You know, they would tell people who don't like Jews that the John Birch Society was secretly controlled by Jews. They would tell people who do like Jews that the John Birch Society was anti-Semitic. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They're completely contradictory arguments, just anything to keep people away from it. And what they realized was the more they demonized the society, more and more people were doing the research and they were joining. And they're like, okay, crap, this is not going to work, guys. Just everybody shush. Nobody say anything. Let's just pretend like they don't exist, and you know, hopefully they'll go away. Well, it didn't go away. I was interviewing Roger Stone for the New American some years ago. I went to his house, and in his studio. And we were talking about the John Birch Society. And he said, you know what? And Stone has been Trump's very close advisor since the 1980s. And he said on camera, says, I'm not revealing anything secret here. He said, you know, Trump's dad was a huge fan of the John Birch Society. He was a big financier of the Birch Society. He was a personal friend of Robert Welch. So that was interesting. That was intriguing. I knew some of the people who worked on his campaign, and they kept telling me, Alex, man, Trump is the real deal. He knows about the New World Order agenda. He knows about the Federal Reserve. He knows about the vaccines. He knows all of it. So, you know, he can't say it all necessarily out in public, out in the open, but he knows. Trust me. And as time went on, we kept seeing more and more good things happening. You know, when it came to the trade agreements, for example, it was like Trump was reading the Birch Society bulletin, talking about the TPP, the globalist free trade agreements that surrender our sovereignty. He ended up nominating Mick Mulvaney in South Carolina, who was a U.S. congressman from South Carolina, first to serve as his director of the Office of Management and Budget, which is a very, very powerful position within the administration, and later to be his chief of staff. And, of course, the leftists tried to derail him. They said, oh, my goodness, he was the keynote speaker at the John Birch Society's 2016 maybe National Council dinner, and how can they do that? And anyways, he made it through. And so Trump had you know, a very good advisor there for a time. And there are many things like this. You know, one of Trump's personal attorneys, one of his mentors, actually, Roy Cohn. You know, he had some pretty significant personal moral failings, but he was very closely associated with Congressman Larry McDonald, who was the chairman of the John Birch Society. McDonald went on to found the Western Goals Foundation, probably the most important private sector intelligence gathering apparatus. This was all, of course, before his plane was shot down by a Soviet fighter jet on his way to Korea. But just to give you a sense, and then Roy Cohn, of course, went on to educate Donald Trump on so many things. So Donald Trump knows a lot. And I say all that to kind of prepare the background here for what I want to talk with Christian about. Now, we've been calling out the TPP for a long time. That was actually, you know, at the top of the Birch Society's agenda list, was to stop the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was really an effort to merge the nations around the Pacific Rim under one supranational government. And this supranational government, very much like the European Union, it would have had an executive branch. It would have had the power to amend its own charter. It would have had the power to issue new regulations that would, of course, apply to the American people. And we would only have a tiny, tiny little voice in there. America would then give up sovereignty to foreign organizations. And so Trump came in and he blew this thing up right off the bat. I mean, it was one of the first things he did when he got in the White House. And we all cheered. We said, yes, that's amazing. So, Christian, tell us a little bit about the TPP. What was wrong with it, first of all? What was wrong with the TPP? Why was it such a bad idea? And then after that, we'll talk about the USMCA. So give us some background on the TPP. Is it still a threat? Do you think I know the other countries went and did it without us, but is it still a threat? If Biden gets elected or, you know, a future president, is it still possible that we could get sucked into this abomination called the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
Absolutely. You know, you really set the stage for this conversation right now, Alex. You know, in 2016, you recall that the TPP was the big initiative that President Obama was trying to get through. Even, you know, even Speaker Paul Ryan at the time was sort of supportive of that too. But there was so much opposition against the TPP from both the right and the left, and the John Birch Society was the premier organization informing the American public about what is wrong with the TPP. I mean, it would have had 12 countries involved in it, including the United States, Mexico, and Canada. It actually would have superseded NAFTA had the TPP gone into place. NAFTA would have been replaced with the TPP because it included Mexico, Canada, the U.S., and plus other countries like New Zealand and Japan and so forth. Well, anyway, and also Brunei. So, what's going on with the TPP? As you mentioned, the other countries, mainly New Zealand, have taken sort of the lead on the TPP, and they renamed it the Progressive Agreement on Trans-Pacific Partnership. Very revealing that now that the U.S. is gone, we're going to call it what it really is—a really progressive agreement. And it is progressive because the TPP's labor standards and all this sexual identity inclusion, worker protections. Things that if we're going to have laws on that one way or the other, those should be up to the countries within their local regions. At least in speaking for the U.S., that should be up to the states. I mean, other countries are run differently, I suppose. But the TPP would have rammed that through via the trade agreement. There was a lot of talk of climate change in the environmental chapter, would have binded countries to all these various United Nations environmental agreements. So it wasn't just a trade agreement. It was an agreement to homogenize the labor and health and environmental standards all across the board. In addition, yes, lowering tariffs was part of it, but it was so much more than that. It was really a merger, a step towards a new world order by way of integrating, economically integrating the Asia-Pacific Rim countries. In fact, the agreement, the TPP, said that it would that its purpose was to increase the economic integration of the area. And in the preamble of the TPP, on the last point of the preamble, like on literally page two of the entire thousands of pages that was the TPP, it said that the TPP's goal was to foster the establishment of something even larger called the Free Trade Area of the Asia-Pacific, FTAAP. Even President Obama talked about the FTAAP. He gave speeches where he was endorsing it, speeches like at APEC. And those are still available on the Obama White House website, which is archived by the U.S. government. So you can, you know, see all these speeches Obama gave and read through them. And what the FTAAP would have been TPP plus Communist China and Russia. See, the FTAAP is a goal of APEC, the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, and their goal is to have not just a region-wide free trade agreement, but to integrate the economies of all these Pacific Rim nations, including China. So while President Obama would say to the American people, oh, we need the TPP because we can write the rules on trade in the Pacific, and this will counteract the rise of China, at the same time, he'd go to these Asian countries and give speeches on behalf of APEC, President Obama, and say that that the U.S. endorses the concept of the FTAAP, which would eventually mean that the U.S. would open the TPP, that the TPP would evolve to not just include the initial 12 nations, but other countries, including China and Russia, the other APEC member states, in the chapter of ascension, or for other countries to join the TPP, so that it was open to all member states of APEC. That includes China and Russia. So had the U.S. gone through with the TPP, no, China and Russia would probably not join in the first day or even the first year, but eventually once they had things that ready, if they felt it was the right time, they would bring in Communist China and Russia. And we should remember that the TPP, one of the 12 countries with the U.S., was also Communist Vietnam. So the TPP wasn't like these free Western republics that would challenge the rise of communism in the Pacific. No, Communist Vietnam was part of it. So when it comes to the USMCA, well, unfortunately, the person in charge of the USMCA wasn't Donald Trump. He wasn't really involved in the process, but his trade negotiator was Robert Lighthizer, who's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and good friends with Obama's former trade rep, Michael Froman, who I think now is on the board of Disney. But anyway, Michael Froman and gave a lot of input to Lighthizer. So when they created the USMCA, a lot of what was negotiated with Mexico and Canada in relation to TPP was used for the new USMCA. And when you read side by side the text of the USMCA chapter by chapter, you see the same verbiage and paragraph copy and pasted from the TPP into the USMCA. And the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard Haass, said that the USMCA is basically TPP plus NAFTA. He was glowing endorsing it. And we have to note that Haass, the president of the CFR, he is an anti-vocal critic. A very vocal critic of President Trump. He's supposedly he's a registered Republican. He's one of these never Trumper, like John McCain type Republicans. And Richard Haass has been a staunch opponent of Trump, but he's praised the USMCA. And this is the one area where the globalists have managed to cling on to going through with their policy agenda. They knew they couldn't get the TPP. And you recall in 2016, even Hillary Clinton, who had helped to negotiate the TPP in Obama's first term, she was a key negotiator. She even came out against it, at least in rhetoric, when she was campaigning, because the opposition was so strong. But this time around, Biden, he's endorsed the USMCA, by the way, and I think that's kind of revealing. But Biden has said nothing, and the media has not asked him, about TPP. Are you going to bring us back? He's been very silent on that. And I would be more concerned about what Biden doesn't say versus what he says, because he's refused to answer the question about court packing, and he hasn't been asked about TPP. And I would imagine that if Biden somehow is able to win the presidency through fraud or legitimate means, whatever, if there's ever a Biden presidency or Kamala Harris presidency in the future, they will try to use the USMCA as a building block for the TPP. They want to go big or go home in terms of globalism. That's where they would take us. I'm very glad that Trump has tried to move away from the major multilateral trade approach, because that was what we were seeing under Obama. And if Biden is elected, we'll likely see a return to multilateralism as opposed to bilateral trade agreements, which are much worse, because then you have more countries forming these economic integration committees, and the sovereignty of all the member states is slowly dissolved as it's merged into a larger body. We have the European Union. The European Union, as you know, Alex, did not come into being by one treaty on one day. It was a process of decades that began with simple free trade agreements between the Western European countries, gradually evolving into this monolithic union state that we see today. And that's the goal. And you mentioned all the other union, economic unions that are being developed throughout the world, the Eurasian Economic Union with Russia and the former Soviet republics, the Union of South American States, and the goal is to literally merge those together towards a one-world government. And this stuff is, what I'm saying, it's not some crazy JBS conspiracy theory. I mean, these are the words of the globalists themselves. You have the Peterson Institute of Economics, the PIE group that named after Peterson, and that group has talked about how the how we're going to have FTAAP by either building up so we're going to have the FTAAP I mentioned earlier, either by building up the TPP or by combining the TPP with another rival organization called the RCEP, which involves Southeast Asian countries and Australia. So the goal is to keep building. And what is Biden's campaign slogan? Build back better. And I think that applies to foreign policy. And when we talk about foreign policy and building back better, and you've done a tremendous, a great job on this, Alex, in one of your videos where you show all the various leaders from the United Nations. You have been using the phrase build back better for years now. This is a UN slogan. So if Biden gets in, we're going to see some build back better in terms of globalism. That's the real agenda of the Biden-Harris campaign. They may not be talking a lot about foreign trade and foreign policy, but that's where this is headed if Biden should he win the election.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And the Council on Foreign Relations has kind of been the headquarters of this movement. I mentioned earlier a magazine they published in 1974. This is in their flagship publication, Foreign Affairs. And it was written by a very senior official at the State Department. It was called The Road to World Order. And what they said was that the old-fashioned frontal assault to undermine sovereignty will not work. We're much better off using a gradual erosion where we're going to erode sovereignty piece by piece. And it's going to look like a big, booming, confusing mess. And yet it's all very strategic. And folks, what Christian said here is extremely important. They're not just dissolving our nation states into these regional governments for fun's sake. They have a very obvious agenda, and they brag about it, okay? Henry Kissinger put out a book, this was in 2014, called World Order, and he outlined the strategy in very, very clear terms. He actually explained and just plain English, and others have done this before as well, that all of these regional orders are eventually going to be merged into a world order, a new world order. Okay, this is a direct quote from Kissinger's book, World Order, that came out in 2014. He said, "The contemporary quest for world order will require a coherent strategy to establish a concept of order within the various regions and to relate these regional orders to one another." Plain English, guys. We're going to dissolve nation states. We're going to create regional orders, by which they mean regional governments, European Union, African Union. And, you know, anybody who thinks that the people of these nations are involved in this, I mean, you're just kidding yourself, right? Take the African Union as a really good example. A lot of Africans don't even know there is an African Union. In fact, the Communist Chinese built their headquarters in Addis Ababa. The European Union pays 80% of the African Union's budget. The American taxpayer pays much of the rest. The idea that the Africans came up with this idea is simply ludicrous. The idea that Europeans were just clamoring to surrender their nation states to a regional totalitarian government, it's simply ridiculous. The idea that the Russian people and the Belarusian people and the people of some of the former Soviet republics just woke up one day and said, you know what, we don't really need our nation states anymore. Let's just have a Eurasian Union. I mean, it's so stupid. You'd have to be dumb as a box of rocks to believe that that was what's going on, guys. There is a clear agenda. It is a conspiracy, which, if you look in your dictionary, is just more than one person working in secret for illegal, immoral, or nefarious purposes. And you might say, well, Alex, this is not really a conspiracy, because look, you just quoted Henry Kissinger's book, and so obviously, you know, you could quote David Rockefeller's book, his memoirs. He said he's proud to be part of a secret cabal conspiring against the best interests of his own country with a cabal of internationalists to build a one-world political and economic order. So, you know, they say these things in public, so I guess technically you could quibble and say, well, it's not really a secret because they're admitting it. That's true, but your average American doesn't know. If you read the fake newspapers, if you watch the fake media, and by the way, the parent company of Fox News, News Corporation, is a corporate member of the CFR, then you're just completely in the dark about these things. You have no idea what's going on. And Christian has been doing a lot of the work in exposing and opposing this. Unfortunately, a lot of these so-called conservative organizations, and I'm thinking primarily right now of the Heritage Foundation, you know, like a broken clock, they're right twice a day, right? I mean, it happens that they're on the right side of issues, but it seems like to me more often than not on the crucial issues, they are on the wrong side. They had their activists out there lobbying for the passage of the USMCA, which, as Christian just beautifully explained, is going to erode our sovereignty, is going to merge us more and more into this regional and then ultimately this global order that Henry Kissinger was talking about. And unfortunately, you know, aside from the Birch Society and a handful of other patriotic organizations, you know, Eagle Forum has been doing a very good job fighting these things. Phyllis Schlafly was a wonderful, wonderful lady. But, you know, the establishment conservatives, the rhinos, are all moving very quickly, very clearly in that direction, and they are doing it with conservative money. I understand we do have a caller calling in, Christian, so if you don't mind, we'll go ahead and take Vince in North Carolina. We've only got a couple of minutes left here, folks. So, Vince in North Carolina, welcome to the program. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. I heard what you said about the American taxpayer and the European Union paying for the African Union, and I'm thinking, what are they paying with? That you know, it just boggles my mind, you know, how they've got that set up. And I'm totally aware of what you were talking about. I know it's real. I think that's what's going on with the behind all the rhetoric in the election. I became aware of this years ago when I happened across a video with Ed Griffin interviewing Norman Dodd, and Dr. Stan Monteith had a similar interview that you can still see on the internet called The Secret Agenda of Tax-Exempt Foundations, and they went into pretty extensive detail about how all this was coming about at least 100 years ago, and it really made me stop and do a double take at what was really going on in the country and in politics, because I just felt like, you know, everything I believe was just a flat out lie, and I guess that's about all I can say on that.
Well, thank you very much for calling in, Vince. We appreciate it. And, you know, I had that moment, that realization, probably about 12 years now, where I realized, oh my goodness, everything I've been taught throughout my whole, and you know, I grew up in international schools. I was so heavily brainwashed with the globalism. You know, once you start realizing the Federal Reserve is a fraud, the UN is a fraud, I mean, you just have to question everything. Like, you know, is anything that they taught me correct? You know, a few things are. 1 + 1 really does equal 2. Back when we used to actually teach math and math wasn't racist. But, you know, we live in a world filled with lies. In fact, the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. We also know Satan is the father of lies, and so we should not be surprised to find out that we live in a world of lies and deception. And if you doubt it, just turn on CNN or NBC or ABC or any of the fake news operations. Christian, we only have a couple of minutes left here before the end of the program. I want to thank you so much for coming on. In the last minute or so that we have left, tell us a little bit about where people can find you. Maybe give us some hope. You know, I know this crazy election coming up. As I see it, it really is coming down to globalism versus patriotism. Trump has taken a wrecking ball to the machinery of global governance. He's withdrawn from the UN Human Rights Council. He's withdrawn from UNESCO. He's withdrawing from the World Health Organization. He's withdrawing from the UN Climate Paris shenanigans. Unfortunately, we have this USMCA that's kind of a blot. But leave us with maybe some hopeful words, if you would, and if you have any ideas on how people can take action, get involved, where can people learn more about you? You've got about a minute and a half left.
Thank you, Alex. You know, I don't think Donald Trump would have been elected in 2016 had it not been for the work of the John Birch Society advocating the electorate since 1958 on these key core issues. I mean, I've met so many people in the freedom movement who say that they were awakened by reading a book that was published by the John Birch Society, whether none dare call it conspiracy or film strips like the one about Katanga that you mentioned. In my case, it was The Shadow of the Power by James Perloff, a book that the John Birch Society has published. So the John Birch Society, people can find out more about the organization at jbs.org and click through there of the About section, learn about it, see what we're involved with, and they can join as a member of the John Birch Society, get hooked up with a local coordinator and local chapters in their area and be active in that regard. Of course, I'd invite people to check out the newamerican.com, our news publication as well, where they can get daily online articles for free and also subscribe to the print magazine that has such well-detailed articles that comes out about, you know, almost twice every month. So, so check us out, jbs.org. And we're also on social media on YouTube, the John Birch Society, and the New American on their own YouTube channels as well.
Well, thank you so much, Christian. Can't tell you how much we appreciate your research and all that you do. Folks, thank you for listening. This has been the Power Hour with your guest host, Alex Newman, filling in for the wonderful Dan Brigman. Thank you guys again for listening. Stay tuned. We will be back tomorrow with more. I won't be here, but God bless you all, folks, and be of good cheer. Take care.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. That's thepowermall.com.